The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
FlyPod.com, I'm Mark DeWitt. Welcome to Cover to Cover. Today we have, well, not only a barbecue guru, and I don't know, I'm going to ask him here if I can call him a cook also. He has a television show on PBS. His name's Stephen Reichland. Stephen, welcome.
Hello, how are you?
Barbecue guy. How about cook? Is that
Nope. Not a cook, not a chef. I do cook, obviously, in the practice of developing recipes, and I cook on air, but writer is what's on my passport, PBS TV host, but chefs are the guys that cook in restaurants on a busy Saturday night, and that is not me.
Stephen, I think last time you were here, I probably asked, how did you get involved with barbecue and a very successful show on PBS?
I got a degree in French literature, and I took a wrong turn. No, there is actually some truth to that. I did get a degree in French literature. In fact, I have a French language grilling show on TV in Quebec. But the after college, I won a research fellowship from the Thomas J. Watson Foundation. And the subject of my research was medieval cooking in Europe. I had written my thesis on a medieval French poet. And that kind of got me involved with the intersection of food and history and culture. And in some sense, I've been doing that ever since. Flash forward 20 years. It was November 1994, and I had this idea to travel around the world and write about how people grill in different countries and cultures. That book that became the Barbecue Bible, it was the right book at the right time, and there I was in barbecue.
And I think that you followed that up with Planet Barbecue.
Planet Barbecue.
Is that correct?
And I'll tell you a funny story about that. So when Barbecue Bible was on press, in other words, too late to change the title, somebody suggested the name Planet Barbecue, and I just loved it. And I knew at some point I had to write a book called Planet Barbecue to sort of use that title. So that came about 12 years after Barbecue Bible.
Well, I mean, since I think you've had another book out, Barbecue Sauces, Rubs, and Marinades, that's your brand new book.
It's the new book. It's actually a reprise of an older book I did in 2000, in the year 2000, but it's completely updated. We got rid of about 50 recipes that seemed time dated, put 50 new recipes in that seemed a little bit more contemporary, full color throughout. I rewrote a lot of the head notes, so it really is, I consider it a new book.
Not only with reading your book, Stephen, but also watching you religiously every Saturday, Sunday on PBS, where I'm at, I have learned that, you know, you don't always cook with the lid down on the barbecue grill. And that's something that you usually don't do, isn't it?
Well, first of all, okay, so let's distinguish between barbecuing and grilling, right? Grilling, a high heat method for quick cooking foods like steaks, chops, etc. And in that application, I often do not close the grill. And certainly when I'm taping a TV show, I leave it open as much as possible so the camera can see what's going on. In true barbecue, which is an indirect, much lower heat, much longer cooking method with a lot of wood smoke, there you do need to cover the lid to keep the wood smoke in. You know, obviously for a camera that presents challenges, but that's the difference.
All right, guys, come on over. I'm going to barbecue. I've got the grill going. We're going to put hamburgers on it. I don't really put anything else on it. I'm not really barbecuing, I guess.
You're not barbecuing. You're grilling, and you're grilling hamburgers, and hamburgers are nice, but if that's all you do, I would love to see you expand your repertory.
All right, so what is really a definition of barbecuing? What do I have to do?
Okay, barbecuing. So true barbecue is always smoked. However, interestingly and paradoxically, not all smoked foods are barbecue. So what is barbecue? A Texas beef brisket is barbecue. A North Carolina pulled pork shoulder is barbecue. Kansas City ribs are barbecue. Memphis dry ribs are barbecue. Big Bob Gibson's barbecued chicken with white barbecue sauce, that's barbecue. However, there are foods that are smoked that are not barbecue. Think of smoked salmon, for example, or any smoked fish, really. Think of smoked cheese. Think of beef jerky or bacon. Those are foods that are smoked, not barbecued.
In barbecue sauces, rubs, and marinades, very important for that barbecue. I mean, the nice thing about this is you know exactly what goes into your barbecue sauce, marinades, and rubs, which go on to the meat.
Well, I think the important principle here is that, you know, if this were fashion, these would be the accessories, but they can really take, you know, grilled or smoked or barbecued meats that are fine and take them over the top. And they do that by adding layers of flavor. So you might start with a rub, which is a mixture of spices and often salt. You might apply it to the meat, rub it into the meat. Before the meat goes on, so you're working with raw meat and seasonings. Then, while your pork shoulder is cooking, you might spray it with apple cider. You might brush it with a garlic cilantro butter. You might glaze it with orange marmalade-based glaze. So that's during the cooking process. Comes off the grill, at that point, you might serve it with a barbecue sauce. You might serve it with a salsa, a relish, or a chutney. Three different layers of flavor, three stages in the cooking process. We call this in the biz the layering of flavor, and it's one of the things that distinguishes American barbecue from the cooking really anywhere else in the world, and one of the things that really defines what makes great barbecue in America.
Now, you're talking about American barbecue. I mean, you've traveled the world looking at different countries. Different countries, they also barbecue.
Or actually, more accurately, they grill, because there are really only two or three countries that barbecue. I mean, the United States, Mexico has something called barbacoa. In Europe now, American-style barbecue is really getting hot. I mean, there are competition teams in Italy and Germany and the Netherlands. But it is true that live fire cooking is practiced all over the world. And wherever you find it, you often find either a rub or a marinade, you find a barbecue sauce, you find a butter-based. So I'd say the new barbecue sauce, the rubs, and marinade books, it's sort of probably about half focusing on American barbecue, regional American barbecue, contemporary, traditional, and half on international barbecue.
Stephen, in your book, Barbecue Sauces, Rubs, and Marinades, you use a sour orange as a barbecue. And I remember in Phoenix one time going to a tree, picking a delicious-looking orange and biting into it, and it was just the most sour thing I've ever had.
Yeah, this is a citrus fruit that's used widely throughout the Caribbean. Of course, Miami's the sixth province of Cuba, Miami where I live, so you find it at every supermarket. And its flavor is much more akin to that of a lime than it is an orange. If you can't find it in your area, I recommend using equal parts orange juice and lime juice.
I mean, that sounds great. I mean, just the orange and the tartness, probably a lot better than what I had just biting into it.
Well, you know, if you were expecting a sweet fruit, you were disappointed. But if you took that same juice and squeezed it on a piece of grilled fish or shrimp, you'd probably love it.
Barbecue Sauces, Rubs, and Marinades. This book for anybody interested in barbecuing, whether you are a longtime barbecue or just wanting to start out?
Absolutely. It's for both. I start with the most basic seasonings, which are seasoned salt. One is called Dalmatian rub. It's because it's black. It's white speckled with black. It's basically equal parts coarse sea salt and cracked black peppercorns. Great rub for brisket. Then if you add hot pepper flakes, that becomes a newspaper rub because it's black and white and red all over. Wink, wink. Get it? We go to the basic barbecue rub, which is equal parts salt, pepper, paprika, and brown sugar, which you can customize with garlic powder or with cumin or with chili powder, but that's a pretty basic barbecue rub, and so forth. And we kind of work our way through the classic rubs. There's the only marinade you ever need, which is basically a Mediterranean herb and lemon-based marinade. We go through butters, glazes, bastes. You know, everything you need to give simple grilled or smoked meat distinction and pedigree.
In your book, you talk about the rubs, marinades, anything that you'd want to do Putting, and you know, I've seen some of this on your television show also. Maybe you take that chicken, you cut the bone out in the center, flatten it out.
That's right, spatchcocking. Very good, Mark.
Yeah, you know, you put that in a saline solution, which pretty much tenderizes it.
Well, that is called brining, and a brine is a saline solution. You're quite right. The original purpose of brining was to preserve foods because salt draws out liquid and it impedes bacterial action. But over time, people discovered that not only were brine foods, did they keep better without refrigeration, they also tasted better. And so brining is very popular for lean meats that tend to dry out on the grill. You'd brine a chicken breast. You'd brine a pork chop. You'd brine a turkey.
And you can add different items to it, such as maybe cinnamon and other things. And what I saw one time, and I never thought about doing this, is you mentioned that when you heat up the spices, mm-hmm. it tends to give more flavor to the oils.
Yeah, this is a technique called roasting the spices. You do it in an ungreased cast iron skillet. And in effect, you're heating the spices to release the aromatic oils, and then you're toasting the spices. In my world, we like to dance on a razor's edge between cooked and burnt. That's where the most flavor is. It's you caramelize the meat proteins, you caramelize the plant sugars. And you don't want to go so far that it tastes burnt, but you want to get pretty darn close because that's where the best flavor is.
In your book, Barbecue Sauces, Rubs, and Marinades, you talk about the mortar and pestle and putting spices in there and grinding those up. What actually does that do?
So a mortar and pestle, it's typically a mortar part is a bowl either in stone or metal. The pestle looks like a pounder. And this was the original food processor, and you used it to pulverize spices. And when you start with whole spices and pulverize them, you get much more flavor than when you start with spices that have already been ground, factory ground, you know, because it was done in a factory. You're doing it fresh. It's also extremely effective for making spice paste. So let's say you want to make a Southeast Asian spice paste. You take lemongrass, you take chilies, you take ginger, and you take garlic. And you pound those to a paste in the mortar and pestle. Now, you will get a different flavor and a better flavor if you pound those flavorings than you would if you grind them in a food processor. I'm not sure what the chemistry or physics are. I just know that it gives you a richer flavor.
And you use this a lot, I guess. Why not just use a food processor?
Well, I guess the main reason is flavor. You know, you get, first of all, that paste that I just described, that Vietnamese paste, in a mortar and pestle, you'll get a true paste. In a food processor, it will be finely chopped, but it won't be paste like. You have to add coconut milk or oil in order for it to become a paste.
So what's one of your most favorite recipes from Barbecue Sauces, Rubs, and Marinades?
Well, one that I've been making a lot is a grilled pork shoulder steak with Monroe County vinegar dip. And it's a dish with a story. First of all, let me emphasize that in this book, Barbecue Sauces, Rubs, and Marinades, so you've got your basic marinade rub, your basic recipe, your basic rub recipes, but there are also 30 recipes for finished dishes. And this is one of them where you make the vinegar dip. That's sort of the condiment piece of it. And then I also tell you how to make these pork steaks. So what's extraordinary about this recipe? One, pork shoulder. We usually cook a pork shoulder whole, right, to make pulled pork. Here it's cut crosswise into steaks. A pork shoulder steak is great for grilling because it's extremely well marbled. It's intrinsically tender. It's very affordable. And this is a cut you find in St. Louis. I now know you find in Fort Myers. Whether it's here, I'm not sure, but I'm sure you can ask your butcher to do it. That's salted and peppered. And then it's grilled over a wood fire. Now, notice I said grilled. In most parts of the country, when you're dealing with pork shoulder, the pork shoulder is smoked, not grilled. However, this is grilled over high heat, treated like a steak. But what's really interesting is the dip. Now, in Kentucky, they call barbecue sauces dips. There's a black dip associated with Owensboro. This is pure hellfire madness. This is melted butter, vinegar. You've got cayenne pepper. You've got hot sauce. It's really hot. So while your pork steak is direct grilling over a wood ember fire, you dip it in this hot dip once halfway through the cooking. Put it back on the grill, you get wonderful Vesuvian flare-up from, you know, the butter hitting the fire. And then you dip it again right before serving. And if you're a real glutton for punishment, you serve the dip on the side for spooning over it.
Now, if you didn't like the heat, you don't have to add the
You can
chipotle?
Cut the heat back.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
My wife was looking at the book. Now, can you barbecue on or in an oven? Is that considered barbecue?
No, that's considered baking.
Okay.
Yeah. So, sorry.
So, well, she baked some pork ribs.
Yeah.
Put the barbecue sauce on. Did it that
Was it
way.
Delicious?
It was, yeah. Okay. What she wanted to try was the, you had one in here with a peach schnapps, I believe, but we didn't have any peach schnapps.
You should have called me. You could use bourbon, you could use Cointreau, you could use Grand Marnier. It's not so, obviously peach gives...
No, we have bourbon too, yeah.
Well, most people have bourbon. Good, in fact, I'm looking at, where's my glass right now?
There you go. Well, it's probably at the house. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Planet Barbecue. I'm interested in this because this has more recipes from around the world, places that you visited.
Yes.
There's some really weird things in here that people barbecue or cook, I guess, huh?
Well, there are. And just to jump right in and get to the weirdest, it's a dish called kokoretsi, and it's a specialty of Greek grill masters. And to make it, you start with lambs. Let's say they use brains, lungs, thymus gland, liver, kidneys. If it's inside there, they use it. And they skewer those pieces on a long metal skewer. Then they wrap the whole shebang tightly in small intestines. There are typical Greek grilling spices that go on it. And then it's spit roasted on a wood-burning rotisserie for a few hours. It probably sounds revolting, but I have to tell you, it's really delicious. And I'll try just about anything once.
So when they were making this dish in Greece, I mean, you were helping, I'm sure, do it.
Well, I watched him do it. I'm not sure that they needed my help on it, but I watched with fascination and not a little bit of horror as they did it. And, it was actually, it was quite delicious. And I would eat it again. I didn't include a recipe for it in the book because I didn't feel like many people would make it. But then it turns out...
There's a picture, though.
Yeah, great picture.
Yeah.
And then it turns out there's an analog in the south of Italy, in Basilicata and in Sicily. I was in Italy in April. I'm going to be taping a TV show in Italy in the fall. I don't remember the Italian name for it, but again, it's all these, you know, organ meats that are put on a stick and wrapped up in small intestine and grilled. So that's obviously a solution that has, it's a dish that's met a lot of needs for the local community in many places.
In barbecues, sauces, and marinades, you talk about injecting meat with flavor. Sometimes meat is injected anyway for tenderizing, isn't it?
Well, I don't know about tenderizing. It's the primary purpose of injecting is to add moistness to dry foods like turkey, like a lot of people will inject turkeys, and sometimes to add flavor. My basic injector sauce, by the way, it's equal parts homemade chicken stock and melted butter. And at that point, you might add cognac, you might add lemon juice. But remember, the holes of your injector needle are pretty small. So if you add solid ingredients, you want to strain the injector sauce before putting it into the syringe.
And that sounds pretty easy.
Yeah.
So are most things in, and I should say not things, but the recipes in barbecue sauces, rubs, and marinades, anybody can do?
They're very simple. I think about my 4-4 rub. That's equal parts salt, pepper, paprika, and brown sugar in a bowl mixed with your fingers. You can certainly do that. Most of my barbecue sauces are ketchup-based, the sort of dump and stir kind of sauces. That's pretty easy. Even some of the more involved recipes, like one thing I tried to do with the book is sort of bring it up to date to the 21st century. So there's something called a deconstructed marinade, an after marinade. And what you do in an after marinade, sort of the principle is normally you marinate raw meat and then cook it, and a lot of that flavor burns off. With an after marinade, you grill the meat first simply with salt and pepper, and then put it in the marinade, cut it, slice it up, and put it in the marinade. So each piece is coated with marinade, and at the same time, the meat juice is mixed with the marinade, giving you more flavor.
With barbecue sauces, rubs, and marinades, what is the biggest challenge with this book compared to some of the others?
I don't think there are any challenges. I think there are just lots of interesting ideas for condiments from around the world. They're not particularly difficult to make. They're, you know, pretty much dump and stirs. I mean, you know, there are a couple. There's one where it's a Mexican marinade and you roast or grill the vegetables first and then puree them. So maybe that's a little tricky. By and large, this is, you know, I would say these are the quickest, easiest recipes in any of Stephen Reichlin's books.
When I was reading the book, I found it kind of amazing that you can talk people out of their secret recipes, especially at these barbecue challenges.
Yeah, you know, most people sort of, the first thing we think of when we think of competition barbecuers is deep secrets that'll go to the grave, you know, utter secrecy. But in fact, when you get to know these guys, they're pretty generous spirits. And, you know, maybe they won't give you the whole recipe, but they'll give you 80% of it and you can figure it out from there.
How's your palate? Can you take that, maybe that pork barbecue and taste it and you can pick out the different things in it?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm pretty lucky that way. And many times I can figure out how to make it by tasting, or at least I can figure out how I would make it by tasting. On the other hand, as my wife would be very quick to tell you, I cannot remember names. I cannot remember faces. I get a shopping list and I come home with all the wrong items because I've lost the list en route. So, you know, it's a very, my skills are specialized and not terribly useful.
When you're going to these barbecue competitions around the country, different places have different types of barbecue. What is your favorite type of barbecue?
Let me turn that question around and ask you if you have kids.
Yes.
How many kids do you have?
Three.
Which is your favorite child?
The oldest.
Okay.
No, I'm joking. Now,
on any given day, you could say it easily, but when you step back and take a deep breath, you love them all equally, and that's how I feel about barbecue.
Okay. And so what are the different regions for different barbecues? I mean, I know South Carolina, you were talking about in the book, a lot of vinegar in it, I guess. And
well, the Carolinas are an interesting case. First of all, Carolina barbecue is pork. And in the eastern part of the state, it's whole hog and some pork shoulder. In the western part of the state, it's pork shoulder. In North Carolina, you get a vinegar sauce, which is a very thin, sour, hot sauce that's really not meant to be licked off your finger like a barbecue sauce, the traditional barbecue sauce. It's really meant to be stirred into shredded meat. If you drift down to South Carolina, the sauce for pork becomes mustard-based barbecue sauce. If you go out to Kansas City, it's ketchup or tomato sauce-based with a lot of smoke flavor. Either through adding liquid smoke or actually smoking the sauce in a pit. Tennessee is more a tomato-based sauce. But then you have what I call these micro-regions of barbecue in the United States, like, for example, Owensboro, Kentucky. And there the meat is mutton, and it's smoked for easily half a day, sometimes longer, served with a black dip, which is a Worcestershire sauce, melted butter, and lemon combination. In Decatur, Alabama, smoked chicken is king, and it's served with a white mayonnaise-based barbecue sauce. You know, and so it goes. It's one of the things I love best about barbecue is that it's still very regional. You know, so much of our life is homogenized, but it's still very regional.
How about the Jack Daniel's Barbecue Trail? Is that what it's called? Or I mean, I think in Kentucky, they do a lot of barbecue sauces with Jack Daniel's. I think you were there someplace and they did a lot of Jack Daniel's barbecue.
Well, there is a Jack Daniel's barbecue competition. It's one of the big three. The big three are Memphis in May, the Kansas City Royal, and the Jack Daniel's. It's an invitational. Of those three, it's the smallest and most intimate, which I like. It also happens to take place in a dry county, which is a little weird. But anyhow, in terms of using Jack Daniel's, how do I count the ways? I mean, whiskey goes great in barbecue sauce. It's great. I'll do a pork loin where I'll pocket the pork loin, stuff it with brown sugar, mustard, and Jack Daniel's, tie it back up again. I mean, that's really great. Obviously, it's used in barbecue sauces. Jack Daniel's barrel chips, hot commodity all over the world, chipping those barrels and using them for smoking.
Have you ever done a competition yourself?
I have never competed by, well, let me rephrase that. I did do a grilling competition with the Iron Chef Rokusaburo Michiba on Japanese television. And I won that, and then I promptly retired. In terms of American barbecue competition, I've written about them as journalists, as writers. I've done TV at them. I was a guest member on a team, but I've never actually competed.
Well, you know, if you've ever thought about barbecuing and didn't know how, maybe you thought it was way too much involved. Well, Stephen Reichland, he's got this brand new book, Barbecue Sauces, Rubs, Marinades. He's going to teach you the right way to flavor that meat as you barbecue it. Now, you're not going to grill it. You're going to barbecue it. The wood is going to just infuse the meat, the sauces, rubs, marinades. You're going to know exactly what you have in what you're going to put on that meat. Also, hey, check Stephen out on any PBS station across the country. Oh, you don't see it someplace? Give that PBS station a call. Let them know you want to see Stephen Reichland. Stephen, thanks a lot.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
You've been listening to Cover to Cover. I've been your host, Mark DeWitt, along with Stephen Reichland, author of Barbecue Sauces, Rubs, and Marinades. To access this or other audio programming, visit our website, theflypod.com.